Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
0289-0333-105, 077-66-105-105. You can get in contact with us as this morning goes by, and we'd be delighted to have a conversation with you. Now, some schools are finding it very difficult on this, which would be seen as the main return to school day. I know they were back last week in dribs and drabs, but this is the Monday when they're all back. And they're not all back, because some schools have up to or even more than a half of their pupils off as a result of close contact with someone, unfortunately, suffering or someone who's going through the stress and strains of COVID. I want to speak to Graham Galt, who's the president of the National Association of Head Teachers. Graham, there's some criticism being levelled by parents that in certain areas, head teachers are being exceptionally strict and being more cautious than government guidelines would suggest that the guidelines that the government would suggest to them.
Good morning, Frank, and to those parents, I totally understand their view, but I will stand squarely behind any principal who stands between anyone or anything and the safety and well-being of their children. It's in the DNA of our school leaders and our teachers to protect their children and to protect their well-being. And some of them, some principals, are making some very difficult decisions, actually going out on a bit of a limb to err on the side of safety. And I support them in that. The reality is that some parts of the guidance under which schools are expected to open at the moment seem to be counterproductive to the all of the other mitigations that schools are putting in place to protect our children, to limit transmission, in fact, to prevent transmission. There's one particular part of the guidance, Frank, which almost seems to promote the possibility of transmission. And so many of our principals, and it is actually quite a lot, are just making a decision in liaison with the Board of Governors to ask parents to follow slightly tighter procedures when it comes to isolation to try to minimise transmission. These decisions aren't taken lightly, Frank. They're not taken to try to make anyone's life easy in school easier. They're not taken to to try to keep children out of school or anything like that. They're actually just designed and taken to try to prevent transmission of this virus. It's a very, very difficult time indeed.
Yeah, I'm just wondering where you see the flaws in it, because it is quite complex. The guidelines are quite complex. If a pupil is flagged as a close contact and has not tested positive for the virus in the previous 90 days, the Public Health Agency recommends they self-isolate until they have taken a PCR test. If the test is negative, they can return to school and do not have to self-isolate for 10 days, but are advised to take another test on day 8 of their 10-day exposure period. Some head teachers think that's too quick of a return.
Yeah, that is precisely the part of the guidance which is problematic. So if you imagine a child who has a close contact at home with COVID, imagine that daddy is at home with COVID, and the child takes a test on day 2, a PCR test, and it's negative. Under the guidance, that child can come back into school, and that's where we want our children to be. However, if that child is still at home with their close contact who has COVID, And then takes a test on day 8. What we're seeing already, and we've only been back in school for a short period of time, relatively speaking, is some children are coming back in and testing positive at that stage, which means they have been in school for a number of days with COVID, potentially transmitting that to their close classmates who sit beside them or who they play rugby with or who they sit in the school bus with. And it's that piece of guidance that principals are having a real concern with, because if the agenda is to protect our children and prevent transmission of this virus, then surely if there is a close contact at home, the child should be isolating for that period of time.
Some head teachers are more outspoken, some of a higher profile than others. Diane Dawson, who's in charge of Braniel Primary School in East Belfast, is a very high profile. She's used a video message to inform parents that indeed the school would not be following the public health agency advice. Mr. Reid, who's in charge of Larne High School, Stephen Reid, he's telling us that 400 pupils are off today. That's more than half the school. I presume these head teachers and the staff around them are incredibly busy following the rules and seeking out who's been in contact with who.
Oh, absolutely. We have school leaders. I've been on the phone with school principals recently who have done nothing else but manage the COVID response since the 20th, 19th, 18th of August. And what has happened then is, Frank, the core business of a school leader, you know, to look after child protection, safeguarding, pastoral care, learning and teaching and so on, those things haven't been done. There are schools, and this is dreadful, but it's true, there are schools where the staff have not yet had their annual refresher child protection training, which is essential. And I absolutely mean essential. They haven't had that yet because they've been only managing contact tracing. So the issue here is not about any individual school principals, Diane Dawson or Stephen Reid there in Larne High, or anyone else, and there are many hundreds of principals who are all in the same boat. The issue here is the sheer scale of the problem. So the rates of transmission across society are huge. And every time there's a positive case flown through to the school, the contact tracing processes that follow that take countless hours for a principal to make sure that all of the close contacts, anyone who a child has, like I say, sat on a bus with or mixed with in the class or in the dinner hall or in the playground or anywhere, all of those children are deemed as close contacts. Managing all of that is extremely labour-intensive.
Well, really some additional money has been given by government to that, hasn't it?
Well, it's not really additional money. It's recycled money from the COVID response last year. But yes, money has been made available. But Frank, you see, if I was to employ somebody to come and support me with contact tracing, and the issue is now, the crisis is right now, today, Monday. So principals don't need money. What we've actually been asking government to do is similar to how health redeployed people from the health system to manage the vaccination programs and the testing programs, why can we not very quickly redeploy some people from across the education sector to manage COVID tracing, to allow our principals to attend to their core business, child protection, pastoral care, and learning and teaching and so on?
What about the idea of vaccinating the younger children, because that's such an issue at present? The debate is ongoing in the Republic of Ireland. There's some evidence that it is working and it has helped to keep the incidence of COVID down. Here, there's absolutely no recommendation for it at present. As a matter of fact, the waves seem to be lapping away from it. What's your feeling on it?
Well, it's a medical decision, Frank. You know, there are two sides to the argument about the rights and wrongs of vaccinating children. My view is, you know, and I suppose I'll not contribute to, you know, the wealth of people who we have who aren't medical practitioners commenting on medical practice. But if our children, if it is deemed safe by public health for children to be vaccinated, then I would encourage children to be vaccinated, really, we want our young people and our children in schools. We want them to live safe, happy, and fulfilling lives. So anything that can be done, if it's safe from a medical perspective, we would like to see it happen, absolutely.
Are you worried about a gradual return to blended learning, a gradual return to children staying at home, some schools being in campus or on campus, other schools, majority of children not being in the classroom, and just a variety of learning leading to, well, a challenge when it comes to testing at the end of the day, because these children will have exams to sit at some point?
Yeah, I'm very worried about that, Frank. Very worried indeed. I was hearing from a principal yesterday who has three teachers. It's a primary school. He has three teachers who are having to go for testing and self-isolate. Where do you get three substitute teachers from at short notice? The scale of the problem is such that there are actually no substitute teachers available at the present time. So it is possible that we will. I really pray this doesn't happen, but it is possible. We need to be prepared that it will happen, that some schools may have to close parts of their schools or even indeed whole schools if staffing availability is an issue. And testing is always a big issue in these circumstances, but also so is just missing out on learning and teaching and all of the social developments that come with being in school. There's so much that could potentially be lost here. So we really do need the Department of Education to step in.
Are you confident that they have contingency plans in place?
No. I appreciate that the Minister has acknowledged that the situation is as dire as we've been trying to say that it is for the past couple of weeks. We have some emergency meetings over the course of the next couple of days, and I really pray that something substantive will be done to support our school leaders and our teachers to manage this awful situation for the sake of our kids.
Okay. Graeme Gault, President of the National Association of Head Teachers, thank you very much indeed. Gloomy outlook from the head teachers' representative. What about teachers in general? Let me speak to Jackie White from the Ulster Teachers Union. Jackie, what sort of feedback are you getting from your members on this, which is seen really as the first big day back, even though they've been back for a while? The Monday in September when they all go back and the roads are busy, a lot of children are off.
Good morning. Yes, indeed. And I think the message is the same right across the board. We are finding that our principal members, first up, in line with Graeme's findings, are absolutely inundated with trying to work out these new guidance arrangements and trying to identify close contacts and trying to ensure that every child is safe. But also we have the issue around the wider safety issues then in terms of teachers and the staff, because where we used to have children who were close contact self-isolating for 10 days so that by the time they came back, we knew either they hadn't taken COVID or if they took COVID and developed symptoms, they were off until they came back, if that makes sense. But now that the children are going out and being tested and coming straight back in again, there's growing concern that potentially, whilst they may not have had symptoms on day two, they may have symptoms on day four and day five. And that becomes very difficult, both from the point of view of staff concerned about their own health and well-being and the health and well-being of the children, but also it becomes more difficult to manage that teaching and learning because you've got children coming back, going back out again, and what the teachers want to do at the beginning of this new academic year is to have a fresh start and to have those children re-engaged with their education and to have some kind of consistency. And as Graeme has alluded to, unfortunately the arrangements that are in place at the minute are playing against that. We are hearing from our teachers and from our principals that this situation really outweighs the restart positions that we've had before. The transmission rates are so high that this just is not sustainable. So we are hoping that in the meetings that Graeme has referred to coming up, the emergency meetings, that we're going to hear something that's going to enable us to be more sustainable and put that support in place to ensure that our schools can move forward in a more manageable way than this.
In the ideal world, if you were the decision maker, how would it look on the ground?
Well, I think what we had called for previously was to begin this new academic year with the previous mitigation still in place, assess what the impact would be of this new wave, if you like, because we have a different variant, which is highlighted at the moment, and we see that our younger people are being more and more impacted, and the virus seems to be, you know, with the vaccination process moving down through the age groups. And what we would have wanted to see was a return with the mitigations that we were familiar with and that we were making work last term, and then move from that. And perhaps one of the key ones there is the 10-day isolation. And we've already heard from principals in the media over the weekend that some of the schools are actually just reverting back to the mitigations that they had before, because this is a different circumstance, and we need to start with what we're familiar with and then try to ease moving forward. Because the key thing is, every teacher, every principal wants those children in school, and we want them in school to be educated. We don't want them in school in chaotic conditions. So we need to really take baby steps. And whilst we appreciate that society is opening up more, we know that that impact is impacting on our schools. And we need to just take a breath, stop, and look and see how we can move this forward. One of the other things that we would like to see in an ideal world is additional support put in to deal with the track and trace. Principals are being pulled away from their key job, which is educationalists. And they were looking forward to this new academic year to start putting a lot of those things in place, looking at the mental health and well-being of the children, the curriculum of the children. And instead, they are spending inordinate amounts of time on track and trace. So one way of looking at moving the education side forward is to actually have additional personnel put in schools to deal with the track and trace, and to take that burden off the principal and allow that readjustment back to education within the schools.
With regards to parents, are they getting frustrated with the teachers or the teachers' unions? Is there a sense that parents feel teachers are being too cautious?
I think that the vast majority of parents have the same priorities that we have in terms of the health and safety of their children. But you can fully understand that as society has opened up again, parents have gone back to work, and it's very difficult for them when they're contacted to say their child's in, their child's out, the close contacts have gone out again or whatever. And it's very understandable that there's that frustration. But I don't think that parents are blaming the teachers and blaming the schools. I think that parents understand that schools are doing their best within the guidance that's given. And bottom line is the health and safety of the children. But you can understand if the teachers and the principals are feeling the frustration of these new guidelines in schools and the new guidance, you can understand how that's having a knock-on effect on parents, because it all feels very confused at the moment, and it is very sporadic in the way that they're contacted, and they're not quite sure what they're supposed to do whenever they are. Now, schools are communicating very well, but again, a change is something, as I said earlier, that should have been eased in so everybody's clear about what's going on. And we do not want the relationships between the school community and the school to break down as a result of this. And I think that's a key factor.
And finally, Jackie, does the Ulster Teachers Union have a position on whether or not younger children should be, the 12 to 15-year-olds in particular, should be vaccinated?
If the medical profession are stating that there's a benefit to those children being vaccinated, we would support that absolutely. Anything which is going to keep our children in schools, keep them safe, and, you know...
But the suggestion is it's minimal. Any benefit is minimal, and it's probably cancelled out by other factors. There doesn't seem to be a mad rush to vaccinate them the way they've decided to do in the Republic.
No, there doesn't, and it's quite interesting because, as you've just alluded to there, you know, different jurisdictions have taken different approaches to this. And I think what we would like to see is maybe have a meeting and have a discussion around the factors that have led to this decision, because anything which is going to be of a benefit to your children in schools is something that we would support.
Okay, Jackie, thanks very much for your time today. Jackie White from the Ulster Teachers Union. So how is it impacting on you, possibly as a parent or guardian? Do let us know. 0289 033 105.
Hey, everybody.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.